We have been talking about Jeremiah 31:31, starting with verse 31, that is. But what we did was we went through a bunch of scriptures in relationship to Elohim, because the true theme that we're trying to deal with right now is Elohim. And Elohim represents the triune God, or more specifically, instead of putting it in theological terms, Elohim represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and particularly in their relationship to let us make man, let us as three, as one, do our part to make man in our image and after our likeness. And so that obviously bleeds over into the New Testament even stronger, where we're mentioned and told to be conformed to the image of his Son, conformed to the image of Christ. And so we kind of, some of you who've been around a little bit, we kind of looked at Abraham in Genesis 18. And there we saw some transitioning going on. Now, we're not ready to talk about that yet tonight. We will go back to that. But I want to take it a little further, just so that we can see this thing and we can begin to grasp even further the intricacies of Elohim. And once we're done with that, remember, we talk about two names. Once we're done with Elohim enough, then we're going to go talk about Adonai. But tonight we want to try to finish out this portion in relationship to Elohim. So as I said, we're going to mention the covenant, and it's pretty big here. But our point again isn't really the covenant tonight. It is the in workings of God in relationship to it. So with that in mind, let's look at Jeremiah 31, beginning with verse 31. Let's see. I have a little bit different translation here, but I probably got it better somewhere else. But I'm going to read this one. It's actually the New King James. It's still King James, but they've just edited a little bit of it. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. All right, so that may have been the actual King James. So what we're looking for in the covenant, and even in these scriptures, what we're looking for is we don't want to just know, we don't just want to read the scriptures and go, okay, and the basic surface thing is that God is going to make a new covenant and it's going to be good for us, and you know, that's sort of the surface thing. But instead of looking at these verses with the thought of trying to find out particularly what it is that he's saying that benefits us, and this is true of almost any of the scriptures, instead of looking at the scriptures all the time and, you know, in context of how it benefits us, that we might get to know the Lord, get to know Elohim a little more, get to know the Trinity, but not just get to know them, yes, that, but to know them among them. I don't know if that makes sense, but to know that among them, how they are, and to see the interchange that flows with them and to see the heart and the way that they are with one another. And this is that little aspect that I just said right there will really apply to Adonai as we get into the other name that we're going to examine a little more closely. And all of this, particularly Adonai, when we get into that, having much to do with 1 Peter. Okay, much to do with 1 Peter. So our approach, we're not going to ever see anything or know really anything of eternal reality or whatever as long as we're just grabbing at stuff that applies to us and trying to figure out how, never really taking him into consideration. Now, this is a huge part of who Adonai is, and I'm not trying to jump ahead. And it's also a huge part of what Genesis 18, verse 1 through however far it goes with Abraham and his change, complete change of approach, but not just approach. It's, my God, you can see it's such a hard thing in him, from the change from chapter 17 or chapter 15, all of which contain a really bad relationship Abraham has with God, because it's all about himself, and it's all about asking for what he can get, and it's all about his eyes, and it's all about his security and his comfort knowing these things. I want to know these things so that I'll have security, and I want to know these things so I'll be comforted. I don't have a problem with all of that. I don't. I think it's great. But at a certain juncture, don't you think that we ought to have security and have a certain amount of comfort? I think this is probably part of what really hit Abraham in chapter 18, is he probably started thinking about every time he's been with God, all he's done is ask for stuff, and God, all God's done is give. And he probably thought, this is too much. And I know it. I see it in the New Testament in many places, but I see it with Paul over one of the most common scriptures that we know. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that last part is Paul recognizes that everything has come to me because he loved me and he gave himself so that I could live. He died. When we say he gave himself, he died. He went into death that we might have life. And so just to eat that up like it's, a big meal for us to enjoy, how about we recognize what he went through? And so Paul, if you could kind of reverse those scriptures in a way and say that, I'm living by a faith that he loved me by giving himself for me. Therefore, I'm going to do the same thing back to him. I am going to be crucified with you, Jesus. Nevertheless, I'll live, but it won't be me. It'll be so that you can live in me. And that's a reversal. It's certainly a reversal of the carnal mind. I'm not even talking about natural man. I'm talking about carnal Christianity with where its focus is. And, some people never get past salvation. Paul's saying in Galatians 2:20, I got saved. I got loved. I got, protected. I got all of this stuff. And I'm not satisfied with that. I want that same spirit working in me. I want that same faith working in me. And I want to love him back by you know, who loved me by giving himself for me, is what it says of Jesus. Well, I want to love him by giving myself for him, that he might live in me. So I hope that's plain, but it's really fundamental to understanding the Godhead, understanding Elohim. Fundamental. Because before time, before sin, before the devil, before all this stuff, there was three of them. Three of them. And this was the way they functioned. And they still do. They would always give themselves to one another. And if we have time, we'll look at some scriptures that shows that a little more clearly. And we've talked about it. But I just think it's important that we understand Elohim in light of this tremendous thing of how they give and cover one another. And you talk about security, you talk about comfort, you talk about love. See, but you get outside of that and you just be some sort of rogue agent that's trying to get God to do stuff for him. Security has to be sought every day, probably. Okay, so looking at those scriptures, the goal that I would like us to do tonight, and maybe this could be a little participation from you, so locate your unmute button if you need it, just in case you get called on or in case the Lord says something to you. What we want to discern in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34 is we want to discern who it is that's speaking. Who it is that is speaking. Okay? And you say, well, is that important? Well, yeah. You say, well, give me a reason why. Because God decided somebody is speaking here, and we need to find out which one of the Godhead is speaking, and maybe why, and learn to tune in the scriptures first, to tune in to scriptures to look for that instead of going, you know, well, God said, you know. Well, okay. How about the Godhead said in the person of... All right. With that in mind, okay. What I'm going to do is read it again, and I want you to start looking and trying to discern which of the Godhead, the Trinity of Elohim, is speaking. Father? Is it the Son? Is it the Holy Spirit? All right, here we go. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. So the days come, saith the Lord. The word the Lord there is Jehovah. All right. That I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband unto them, thus saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their inward parts, and I will write them in your heart, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. All right. So, the days will come when I will. When I will. All right. So, I'm going to call upon you. Anybody have any ideas? You know, let me just say this before I ask you to do it. there are no wrong answers. Now, you're going to look at me and go, well, that's what everybody says, but I will probably say something dumb. Well, there's only three different possibilities, is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And since it is Elohim, then there are no wrong answers. So you can guess if you'd like, or you can pull out something from those verses that we read and say, Well, this leads me to believe that it might be so and so, or however you want to approach it. Again, when you unmute your mic and you tell me, you know, if you want to just be Russian roulette and just unmute it and say one name and check out, I'm fine with that, sort of. All right. So anybody want to give me an idea of who you think this might be referring to?
Randy?
Yeah. Scott?
I was just thinking maybe the son, because he's talking about being a husband, and that's the role Jesus plays in the New Testament.
Okay. Amen. Well, see, now that's, I mean, that's the kind of answer I'm looking for. I'm just looking for one particular person, and I'm looking for the reason why we might assume that. Okay? Now, you might say, he picked the one I was going to pick. I was going to say that. Now I got nothing to say. And if everybody that's on the other side there thought Jesus, that's fine. But if I got anybody else that thinks someone else, just let me hear it.
Randy? Dan is here.
You okay? Yeah.
All right. Just to me, it was sort of intuitively obvious. The verse 32, we're talking about the Father. Okay. And verse 33, we're talking about the Son. I suppose I could equivocate on 33 and say, well, maybe the Spirit.
Right.
But, I stick with Jesus, which is a good rule.
Yeah, it's always a good one. We can't argue with that one, especially in this church. great, Dennis. Praise God. Yeah, I like it. I like that you even went to other scriptures within those and could pull out things that really spoke to you. There was a couple of things there that you said that I really liked. I'm not going to address them right now, but it was really, really good. Thank you, brother. Anybody else?
Randy?
Mm-hmm.
So, genuinely, I did think this when we were reading, and I was asking the Lord, "What? Who is it?" And to me, it was like the Father was first, and then the Son was speaking, and then the Spirit was speaking. And I'm not just saying that to, you know, cover my bases, but I really felt like, with reference to what you shared last week, that it was the covenant about the firstborn. That would have been the Father wanting his Son to come to him and sacrifice. And that would be the Father speaking. But then, like Scott said, the Son is the husband. So that would be the Son speaking. But only the Spirit can write it in our hearts. You know, only the Spirit comes by nature and reveals Christ, you know. And so that has to be the Spirit. So that was what I thought.
It's really good. Thanks, Mallory. Yeah, that's really good. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
I was actually thinking along the same lines as what Mallory said, and at the very end of the three verses, it ends with, and will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people. So I just thought maybe all three of them are speaking, and they all have a part in that flow. Because like she said, that at the very first, I thought it was the Father, because the Son was the one they were eating. You know, the Father was making the covenant through the Son. And they broke that covenant, and then the husband part being Jesus, and then 33 sounding like the Spirit, and then they all come together and like, we will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people.
Boy, you can't argue with that. I mean, again, going to the end name there, and Elohim, then, and we know that what God wants in his heart. I mean, can I just say it like this? If you just tried to wipe away everything that was religiously affected us in certain ways, you would come to just certain basic things. And here's what I mean by that. If you wiped away a covenant, or any covenant, the covenant, you wiped away the thoughts of it, when you got back down to like Genesis, when it first began and the only name was Elohim, and they were doing all the creating, just like what y'all are describing, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit involved, and we went through a bunch of those scriptures, then you would hear, we could hear his heart speaking among themselves and finding what their universal heart is. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Okay. So you can't go wrong with being able to identify Elohim. And one of my desires for this class and our getting together is never just to talk or whatever, but for us to discover the Lord and to take the scripture seriously, but in another direction seriously. No longer just trying to find the rules to live by, but trying to find the life to live by, and trying to find the interchange, as I've used that word several times, the interchange between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, what we've described so far by your comments is we have described the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we got some explanation of why, which was really good, because you were sort of able to identify them by certain elements that were there in those scriptures. And but when you see him say, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness," when you see that heart, there's nobody else around. That's just them. And I think that this covenant thing is like them. It's not just we can see the individuals. These guys are doing it. They're bringing it forth. They're conceiving it. They're working together, as it were, to bring that about. And I think that's the bigger takeaway of these scriptures, is that we are seeing Elohim. See, when we say the Trinity, sometimes our mind goes off to, well, the Son did this, and the Father did that, and this and that, and whatever. But for me, Elohim, because Elohim was the one who said that, at that time, when there was no concept of Trinity using that word or whatever, because nobody was made yet. He was talking about making them. You see that they're thinking on the same level, but they have different parts. But they're thinking on the same level, and they're working it out together because they have the same mind and they have the same heart and the same goals. In other words, there's no division between them. excuse me. And so you slowly, as we start getting more into the scriptures and things, you slowly begin to recognize these guys really do have an agenda, but it's not an agenda. It is a heart's desire, and it is that they are working towards that end. And, of course, the New Covenant brings us, it gives us all the tools to be made in His image. And I'll put my heart in you. I'll put my spirit in you. I'll, you know. So, anyway. I'm blessed by what I've heard so far, and I don't want to cut anybody off. So anyone else have a comment on any of it? Okay. All right. So what I'm going to do, is... I'm going to read some scriptures, and some of you have alluded to them, to some of them, and some of you haven't. So as I read this, don't just let somebody read something. Try to listen to certain parts. The first one's going to be easy. But when we get into some of the others, try to listen to certain things, clues, more than clues. It's almost like a flower springing up out of dry ground, where you begin to recognize the living God instead of the scriptures. All right, so the first one again. This is Exodus 4:22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. That's pretty self-evident. That is pretty much confined to two members of Elohim. But you see something, and there's only one side of the two speaking, but in it, you don't just see doctrine, or you don't just see, oh yeah, I know that scripture. You see a heart. You see a father's heart for his son, the original father, the original son, from which all fathers in shadow form and all sons in shadow form were made, speaking about how strongly he wants his son out of Egypt. All right. Now, let me give you some others. Remember that you are seeking to listen and to discern Elohim, or one particular or two particular members. This is let's see, Jeremiah 3:1. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. All right, so you got certain elements there that are similar to what we read in Jeremiah 31. You've got you've got one person primarily speaking, it looks like. And he's not speaking about another member. He's speaking about The other one in Jeremiah 31 said a husband. Well, this is mentioning, it's using the word wife. Okay. Jeremiah 3, 6 through 11. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, this is said unto me is Jeremiah, the Lord said unto me, the Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up on every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. You see, that little phrase is not turn back to God. This is turn back to your husband. And this is a cry of a husband. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. And she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. This is the Lord speaking. I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. Yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. So, you know, it makes you wonder, and I have heard I have heard different people say, and in fact some of my Bible school teachers were teaching that this is, of course they would say Jehovah, but they would say this is Jehovah that married Israel and then divorced Israel, and they would refer that to the father, that the father was married and then the son also got a bride. I'm telling you what I was taught. I'm not telling you what I believe. I'm just telling you that that's what I've heard. So, you know, when you hear something like that, you know, it's good to, and like these things, it's good to come after him to hear, because I don't know how to put this. We're always, to me, it feels like a lot of the times we just seem to be going at it the wrong way. It seems like we're trying to get hold of religion, or we're trying to get hold of our security, or we're trying to get hold of, you know, keep our salvation, or we're trying to, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it's so wrapped up in the earth and how God relates to me and what I can get out of it and all this. And of course, my heart is that I think, you know, that's all fine. And I think that for a period of time, that's great. But, you know, what if all of that was just baby stuff? Did the Lord marry baby stuff? I'm saying weird things, but I'm trying to mess with you enough to go, we need to find him. We need to know him and to see what is going on here and how it's become such a big deal before Jesus returns. All right. So, let's see, because I know it's getting a little late here. So I'm going to try to finish off this. I should have moved those scriptures down, or did I? Okay, so I want to go back to our original verses in Jeremiah 31 and read it one more time. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out by the hand and to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, and although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be, and particularly right here, listen to this part. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God. They shall be my people. In the book of Hebrews, he's talking about this. I want you to listen to this. It's basically saying these verses, but I want you to listen to whom he attributes these words to. Hebrews 10, 15 through 17. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will, the Holy Ghost, make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. One of the things that I like, Dennis, about what you said was that you, well, first of all, you related those, the last part of Jeremiah 31 there, to the Holy Spirit. Because, and I hope I'm not saying it wrong or not putting words in your mouth, but the way that you said it, I just felt like it was because you understood that the Holy Spirit's going to have to put this in us. You know, this isn't just Jesus putting it in us. The Holy Spirit has come to put this in us and to bear witness of the life that we have and the spirit of Christ that is within us. And so so whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, and you know, most people say it was Paul, I don't know who it was, but whoever wrote it said, had this understanding. Let me just put it in a simple way. It's as if he's reading it there in Jeremiah and he goes, I know who wrote that. I know who wrote that. That's the whole. That would be somebody who really knew him. And it's over in chapter 9, somewhere around verse 14. I really don't remember that where he brings up again the Holy Spirit. You know, and so what I'm closing with is this. It is my desire that we get to know the Lord Elohim in such a way that we too could be reading the Old Testament, or even in the New Testament, even in the book of Acts, because those guys, they did it too. And be reading and go, oh, I know who's speaking here. You know, wouldn't it be even better if we go, oh, I know who that is. That's you, Holy Spirit. Or, that's you, Jesus, or Father, I know your heart. That's you speaking. So that we didn't learn what their function was and identify them just by their function. We learn from by being comfortable with them, by reading and tuning into them, we learned the Godhead and Elohim, and we learn that he's working on us to form his son in us so that we would be like them, and that Elohim spirit that we'll I thought we'd get to it tonight, but we'll talk about next time, except we're going to take a break. So I hope you won't be too, you know. Anyway, isn't the Lord wonderful? And his heart wonderful? And aren't we privileged to be able to sit and just talk about him the way we have tonight, and the way you shared, and the spirit and the life that you brought, as well as hopefully what I've heard. And we're feeding and nourishing one another, and we're doing our best not just to gain some kind of depth of knowledge or something, but we're growing up in him together. Father, I just thank you again and again and again. I thank you. I thank you that your spirit doesn't give up, not on our salvation or all the things we worry about, but he doesn't give up on trying to bring us into the fullness of this. I will write this, he said. I will, and he keeps saying it. So help us to know him and to know the Son beyond the theological aspects, and to know the Father, who Jesus said of him, when you pray, pray our Father. Oh, that we would so be in this family, so be in this family the way that they want us to be. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Loved your sharing. Loved everything about it. Thank you. God bless you. Amen.